Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. So I was never a dog lover. I mean, I didn't dislike dogs or anything, but I never really was, I could go either way. Then my kids nagged me for a few years, and I got a dog. That was 5 years ago. I can't even tell you how much I am absolutely in love with my dog. I am a complete dog person. I love all dogs now. So if you're listening to this, today I'm going to talk about the emotional benefits of having a dog, especially after divorce. But also, I have a great guest who is also a dog lover. I have Anna Krolikowska here. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone.
So Anna is a divorce attorney. She's been in practice for 16 years. And Anna, I just think so highly of you. Thank you for taking the time to do this. You are experienced. You are knowledgeable. You are the immediate past president of the Illinois State Bar Association, which that blew me away because you're only the fourth woman in the history, right? Fifth woman in the history of the Illinois State Bar. I mean, that's amazing. But more importantly, from what I know of Anna, and we've known each other 7 or 8 years, I think.
At least.
Yeah, right. Anna has a wonderful reputation, and I've talked to people who she's worked with, and they've been extremely happy with working with her and the performance that they got and the results, too. So thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you for sharing that.
So on a side note, Anna is a dog lover, and I didn't even know this till recently because Anna has a baby also. Well, she's not a baby. Now she's a toddler.
She's definitely a toddler and a troublemaker.
So Anna has a toddler, and so I don't know. I just didn't really ever think of it. And then I find out she has two dogs.
They are both Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and Miniature Poodle Mixes. But one is more poodle-like, and the other one is more cavalier-like. The poodle-like dog is named Simba, and he's a boy. And the cavalier-looking-like is a girl, and her name is Sierra.
What do you love the most about having pets? Oh, what is it?
The unconditional love, the wanting to play with you and spend time with you. The opportunity to get you out of the house for walks. I mean, they're just the best.
I know. There's so much to say. So I wrote an article recently about the benefits of having a dog after divorce. And I wrote down, let's see, like 8 things. And I just want to go over a couple. And then we're going to get into the legal aspects of, let's say you're listening to this and you're thinking of getting divorced or you're going through one or you just got divorced and you're concerned because you want to make sure you're still going to see your dog and or get full custody of the dog. So I want to get into that. But I want to start off by saying that a lot of people who are going through a divorce email me and say things like, I'm so lonely. I feel so alone. I feel isolated. The house is empty. When the kids go to my soon-to-be exes, I feel very alone and lonely. And I think that having a dog, or if you're considering it, getting a dog is such a wonderful way of alleviating some of that loneliness and isolation. Because I know I've lived by myself as a single mother for 15 years, and I've had a dog for 5. And of course, everybody feels lonely at times in their life, whether they're married, single, divorced. But having a dog, I really feel like I'm never alone.
You're not.
Right. There,
and they give the best snuggles, too.
They do. And just even looking at the dog and feeling like someone is there with you is such a beautiful feeling. And you also feel, another benefit is that you feel needed. You feel like, you know what, I can't be depressed and lay in bed all day because my dog needs to go out and I need to feed my dog and play with my dog. And so it really is good for self-esteem, I think. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff, and my guest, divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. And we're talking about what's so great about having a dog before we get into the legalities of having a dog and getting divorced. So another benefit is, tell me if you agree, Anna, dogs can alleviate anxiety and fear.
Absolutely. And they don't have to be companion animals or have the special credentials. They just tend to pick up on your emotions and want to take care of you, at least in my experience.
And also, you pick up on theirs. Like, mm-hmm. when I'm stressed, I find myself petting my dog and being like, it's okay. He's a constant. He's there. He's not stressed. Mm-hmm. It's always the same. It's very balanced.
Yes.
So that's another benefit. And then I loved how you said unconditional love. Like, if you come home and you've had a horrible day and you're just being a total bitch. I mean, not you, Anna. I don't think
anyone.
Anyone. Your dog is going to love you and is not going to judge how you're acting. And for people listening, if you're going through a divorce and you might not be the best version of yourself at this moment, you might be easily set off, angry, having fits, crying a lot, maybe not as great of a parent as you'd like to be, just temporarily. And your dog will never judge you, and your dog will love you for who you are.
Absolutely.
All right, so have I sold everybody on getting a dog?
Is that what you were doing?
I don't know. My goal, as you know, Anna, I have a mission to help people getting divorced. And I truly think one of the ways is consider a pet. And if you're not really a dog person, if that seems not manageable, maybe a cat is better. You know, any pet is a really good way to cope with stress and fear and sadness and feeling alone, I think.
I would agree.
All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty of this. You've been a divorce attorney for 16 years. How many cases, what percentage do you think people have pets and it's an issue in the divorce?
I would say it's fairly common. The question is, how are they going to address what's going to happen with the pet or with the dog? And as we're talking about that, the law has changed within the last 8 years, because prior to that, pets were purely a property, an item that you had to figure out who is going to get it and what's going to happen with that pet. Now, some people, especially those using mediation or collaborative divorce to resolve their divorce, would try to figure out arrangements that were a little bit more gentler than the harsh view of the law, at least the way it used to be. So the change now means that in a divorce process, even if you're litigating, a judge is supposed to look at what should happen with your pet. And they can't even go so far as to determine who's going to have custody, the care of this pet, and what's going to happen with the pet. And this was a very recent addition to the law in Illinois, they can even appoint a guardian who's supposed to help them figure out, kind of similar to what happens with children, but help them figure out what's in the best interest of this pet.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because I would think, and you could tell me more accurately, that there might be a lot of spite from some couples, and maybe somebody just wants the dog because they know how hurt the spouse is going to be, even though they really don't care.
Yeah, and when you said that, I flash back to a certain situation, and since we're talking about difficult situations and divorce, please make sure that your dog is identifiable, and that if they are chipped, that the vet is going to check who is the owner of the dog and who should be making decisions as to what should happen to the dog or other pets, because people have done some horrible things in divorce cases involving pets.
That's sick.
The worst case scenario, I know of cases where a spouse basically had a vet put down the pet to be spiteful in the divorce process. So that's why I was talking about making sure that your dog is tagged, and the vet will check before doing anything irreversible, because that was such a horrible experience.
Now, did the person get consequences? Did anything happen to them?
Now, this was pre the law changing, right? And pre the judge having to look at the best interest of the pet. But the consequences were not that significant. And at the end of the day, and if you're a pet lover, nothing can bring your companion back, right?
That is so sick that I could vomit right now. And so people listening, though, Anna, that's really an extreme case. But think about it. You're still talking about it, and it happened such a long time ago, and it scarred you. Mm-hmm. So it is possible. But people listening to this, we don't want to scare you and think that your ex is going to be mad that you're dating someone new and go kill your dog. I don't really think that's, you know, going to happen. But I think Anna's right. Take some precautions. Go to the vet. Make sure to put a chip in the dog's head. Mine has one. Take any precautions you can and keep it in mind if you think your ex is unstable enough to do something
Absolutely.
So what are the current laws in Illinois? Let's say a couple is litigating. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen to the dog? Is there now like a shared custody type of thing?
There can be, but the judge is now required to look at what's in the best interest of this pet. So if you're litigating, it would be very fact and case specific. So for example, was this pet purchased during the marriage with marital funds? Was everybody involved with taking care of this pet? Is the pet connected to everyone in the family to the same extent? Or was this a pet who's very much emotionally connected to one parent or maybe to the children? Because there might be a situation where the judge says the pet goes where the kids go. Maybe the pet travels with the children for parenting time. Or let's say this pet is a companion animal for someone. Well, then that person needs this pet, right? It's not just a property, an asset. So it becomes very much fact specific and situation specific.
Well, I love that. But I will say, we're talking litigation here.
Yes.
So this is where a judge asks all these questions and then makes the decision of what's going to happen to your dog. So what I'm saying to my listeners is, do you really want that? I don't think so. So there are two other ways to get divorced besides litigation. You can do mediation or you can do the collaborative divorce process. Anna is a certified mediator. And she's also trained in collaborative divorce. So Anna is going to explain each of these processes and be a better outcome than if you went to litigation.
Sure. Well, at its core, mediation means that you and your spouse are meeting with a neutral mediator, someone whose job it is to help you talk through and figure out a settlement. They can't give legal advice. They cannot prepare the legal documents. So even though I'm an attorney and a mediator, I cannot fill both roles in the same case. So if I'm hired as a mediator, you will still need to hire at least one attorney to help you prepare your documents. Mm-hmm. Sometimes two attorneys, because each of you might want legal advice from your independent attorney.
Or you can go to another mediator and then have Anna as your attorney.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the other way I work within the mediation space. Collaborative process is similar to mediation in that we work through the terms of the agreement through a series of meetings. But each of the spouses, would hire a collaboratively trained attorney who's also trained as a mediator. You have to be first a mediator. Then you take your
collaborative
training.
Did not know that.
Yes. And through a series of meetings, you and your attorneys, and there might be other supportive professionals, work through what is important to you and your family and figure out an agreement that is tailored to what your family wants and needs. So for example, if there is a pet, you might have shared custody. You might share the decision making. You might share the expenses associated with your pet, whether, you know, regular ongoing treats, food, or medical, because we want to make sure that we're taking care of those needs. Or it might be a situation where maybe the pet goes where the kids go, right? You're coming to pick up your children for your parenting time. Guess what? You're taking your fur child with you as well.
So it sounds like with anything else, because I'm a huge fan of mediation and the collaborative process, it sounds like you have a say of what's going to happen with your dog. So you Yes. could go to mediation. This is for the listeners. You could go to mediation and in your heart, you know that your soon to be ex, it really doesn't care one way or another about the dog, but you do. So you could say, I really want the dog 100%. I want it to just be him or her to just be mine. In exchange for that, I'm willing to give you this. And so you bargain everything together in mediation, and then your spouse might say, well, all right, I'll do that, but then I want this, right? Isn't that kind of how these mediation sessions go?
It is kind of like that, but you don't necessarily trade one thing for another in the same session, right? In your big picture, as you're preparing for your sessions, you might be thinking, okay, I'm willing to forego X, Y, and Z if I get to keep my pet.
All right, so you're telling me you don't verbalize what I just said, but you're thinking it.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
And so that to me is much better than a judge saying, well, you want the dog, and then your soon-to-be ex says, well, so do I, because he or she just feels like they should say that. And then you end up with this custody of your dog, but really it would have made more sense for you to just keep the dog.
Well, not only that, but in litigation, by the time you get to say to the judge or have the judge try to figure out how to settle or resolve the case, you would have spent at least a year or more going through the litigation process. By that I mean somebody files a petition, the other side files a response. You go through the discovery process, which means exchanging a lot of financial documents and trying to get that information ready, because most judges will want to have that sort of basic steps taken care of prior to them giving sort of opinion or suggestion or even ruling as to what should happen to resolve the case overall. There's this thing called a pretrial in the litigated process where you can ask a judge for an informal sort of opinion as to on what terms the case should resolve. But most judges will want the discovery done before they set the pretrial. So mm-hmm. again, it can take a long time and cost a lot of money to even get to that stage where you're trying to figure out, okay, on what terms can we finish this divorce? Most mediation and collaborative divorce cases move much faster.
I would say less than 6 months total.
It depends, but I would say between 6 months to a year, depending on specifics of a case.
But I also want people to know that you shouldn't do mediation just because it takes such a shorter time. You still have to walk away with a deal that you feel really comfortable with. That's just an added perk that it's really quick, right?
I mean, I agree 100%.
You have to make sure that what you sign for, you don't have to be like, oh, I hit the jackpot and I got everything I wanted. That's not what it is. It's, I think I could live with this and be happy.
Well, the reason I'm smiling as you're talking about this is because in most settlements, right, that's mediation, collaborative process, or otherwise, you're not going to get everything you want. Mm-hmm. So it's good to walk in with this perception of, okay, I can live with certain of these things.
Do you know what? I always compare it as when you buy a new car and you walk off the lot and you're driving your new car home and you're thinking, did I just get screwed or did I get a good deal? And then you say to yourself, you know what? I feel pretty good about this. I think the guy had integrity. I think I like what I'm going to be paying every month. I think it's fine. It's doable. And I love the car.
There you go.
You know?
There
you go. All right. This has been wonderful. Anna, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about what I think is a really, really important topic in divorce.
My pleasure, and I got to visit with you in Jackson.
He loved having you here. In closing, what I want to say to my listeners about getting a dog, or if you have a dog, Anna, tell me if you agree with this. People always say that getting a dog or a puppy is like having a baby.
Agree.
You think so? I was going to say, no way. I mean, I have two kids. You have a baby. It's like, a lot harder.
It's slightly different, right? But it is an adjustment. It's a commitment. You're agreeing, if you do this right, you're agreeing to be responsible for this little being for 10 plus years, hopefully.
All right. So, I'm glad you put me in my place, because I was thinking, no way. Having a baby is way more work. And people don't get dogs. Yes. They don't get pets because they're thinking it's way too much work. And it is a lot of work at the beginning. But one thing that dogs and little babies and kids have in common is that when you walk in the door, you are getting this gift of tremendous warmth and love in your home. And it's just such a wonderful feeling, especially during or after divorce, when there's so much loneliness and fear and anxiety.
I would agree.
So this has been really nice. Love the topic. Thanks for being on the show, Anna.
My pleasure.
And for everybody listening, if you want to learn more about Anna, her firm is called Anna K. Law. So you can go to annaklaw.com, or you can find her on Divorce Girl Smiling. And if you want to read more articles or listen to other podcasts or find other great divorce professionals, go to divorcegirlsmiling.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.